Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 565th edition of SDG. And this message, folks, it's titled 2022 Endgame Update Number 29. And then later in this message, I'm going to ask you one simple question. Did you really think the Christian life would be easy? Well, Jesus promised us the ultimate victory, but he never promised us there'd be no difficulty. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can acquire this perspective of patience that's needed to endure, understand, and then receive the promise after we do the will of God. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And remember, folks, like I say every week, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, let's get started by a review of something from a past episode. Now, before I get into this, what I'd like to just tell you, folks, is I'm having some trouble right now with my microphones. So I'm on my backup, which is basically my cell phone, so I don't know what the audio quality's like. I've been working on trying to get my audio levels up here, and I'm working with the mixers and all that. And when I was doing my sound checks 5 minutes before the show, the mic's not working. So I don't know what's going on for sure. I'm going to have to dive into this. But anyways, let's just move on. So last week I gave you an update on this CSRQSM system that Bill Sweet's been out there promoting and the mysterious Gideon and Michael. Well, I sent an email to him per his instructions on August 6th, and I'd like to read it to you. And as of now, I've heard nothing back from Bill. I just wrote, and this is exactly what I wrote to him. "In your past email, you said to ask if we had any questions, so here goes. You said the whistleblowers will scrub our social media. Does that mean my Blog Talk podcasts are finished? Now, this is all in reference to applying for sovereign status and sending him my $1,400 and then sending him $100 a month. So just this, these are the questions I'm asking prior to joining, so to speak. Okay? So let's keep this in mind. I'm going to continue reading now. You said the whistleblowers will scrub our social media. Does that mean my broadcasts are finished? You spoke a good deal about the funding of the sovereign accounts, but mentioned nothing about how we will fight the system from within. How does Gideon expect us to help in this fight once in? And now one comment, and I say this here privately rather than publicly. Now I'm bringing it out publicly, folks, but on my forum, not his, because I still will continue to respect the man. But I'm going to start speaking about this on my platform, and that's right here. So I'm going to speak publicly now, since I haven't heard from him since August 6th, and it was so time-sensitive. After carefully reviewing your last email, I must be honest when I say it all feels wrong. It feels like a honeypot operation with this joint crypto account for the monthly deposits. It reminds me of the sovereignty movement of the past, with our UCC filings and birth certificates, or the offshore trust movement of 20 years ago. I'd appreciate your reply, and I just signed SDG Ken. But I've heard nothing, folks, absolutely nothing. been since, like I said, August 6th. So is it a honeypot operation? Well, now I'm certainly thinking it is. And then Bill releases on his YouTube channel 16 hours of audio, interviews with him and Gideon. So I listened to it, or should I say try to listen to it, and the audio masking is so intense it's actually difficult to listen to, painful, in fact. So the bottom line here, folks, Bill, Gideon, and Michael could still be the same person. But that's all I have to say on this right now. Just leave you with this if you're considering it. Buyer beware. And that's all I'll say. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, let's get started with our coronavirus heist. Yeah, you know, folks, it is a big scam, and that's coming out now. Everything we've been saying here on SDG from the spring of 2020 has been true, from social distancing being useless to masks being useless to the inefficacy of, in fact, danger of the vaccines, to this whole concept of the fraud behind asymptomatic transmission, to the case-demic from over-testing and over-cycling the PCRs. Folks, it's all coming out now. And as I said a few weeks ago, we're seeing so many deaths now, sudden and unexpected adult deaths. I have this new little subsegment in here, and what we call it is the SADS update. So here we go for this week's SADS update. There was a 41-year-old singer and theater actor, Darius Campbell Dinesh, who died suddenly at home. How many times have we heard this dying suddenly at home recently? So this former Pop Idol contestant, he's a theater actor. He was found dead in his bed in Rochester, Minnesota, last week at age 41. Now, this is the official release from his family. It is with great sadness that we announce the passing of Darius Campbell Dinesh. Folks, I saw pictures of this man. He's a very lean, apparently healthy 41-year-old, and 41-year-olds in good health normally don't die in their sleep unless they accidentally overdose on drugs, and if it wasn't narcotics, it's most likely the jab. And considering the people in his circle, you know, the acting realm and the movers and the shakers, these are all people who spend a lot of money socializing and going on holidays and trying to get the next gig. So there's a very high probability he's jabbed. He's an actor, folks. And in that libtard world of hypocrisy, and that's really what an actor is, a hypocrite, there's no work if you're not jabbed. So they take it without thought to go along to get along and just fit in because they wanted nothing to get in the way of their good lives. They're deluded. Their thinking is stinking. And it's actually the jabs that's causing them all this harm. And there's mountains of evidence now, including all the VAERS data, that points to thousands upon thousands of deaths directly related to the shot. And remember, the underreporting numbers from the Harvard study are like, what, one report in 20 or one report in 40? So there's an order of magnitude and then some more than is actually being reporting. So people like this, you know, these insiders, they need to get the shot. And when you stop and think about it, it's a good way to call the stupid from the gene pool, isn't it? And then there's this other sad report out of Luke Knox, Florida. This football player and brother of a Buffalo Bills, Austin Knox, he dies suddenly at age of 22. So this guy, his brother Luke, is the one who died, and he was a player at the Florida International University football team. there's another death, folks. And so it begins. Now, I was wondering when it would start. When would start to see deaths from the American sports players? And now that we have all the camps starting, we see college football players starting to drop like the European soccer players did last fall. And that's what we're seeing. Did you know that the NCAA forced these kids, really, that's what they are, to take the clot shots in order to play? And that's not informed consent, folks. That's coercion. Either take the jab or lose your scholarship. Now, over the next couple of years, I expect to see hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths in college football players and some of the other college sports. And then we may even start to see it in the pros, when we are, to a certain degree. So do you think the NCAA is going to survive their poor judgment? Well, you know what I'm seeing? I can see a drove of class action lawsuits bringing up all over. And you can only hope that it'll bring this woke NCAA down into their well-deserved end. You know what I'm saying? And then get ready, because fall's coming, and soon it'll be here, and it'll be time for boosters. You know, they're pushing the death jab again. And then there's going to be plenty of heart-related issues and all sorts of fatalities. You know what I see in the making here? Nuremberg 2, folks. Go woke or go broke, folks. And I, for one, won't miss the woke and corrupt NCAA. I won't, one bit. And you get this, there's just two here. We just covered two, one in entertainment and one in sports. But it's just two in a long list of celebrities and doctors and airline pilots and athletes who are dying suddenly each and every week. And now these are just the prominent figures. What about all the everyday folks like you and me? Well, the estimates are in the range of 10,000 jab-induced deaths on a daily basis now. 1,000 deaths a day, folks.
What?
Do you hear that? That's right, Paul. 10,000 deaths per day. And get this. The CDC weekly death counts, they support this claim. So if you go back and start looking at the beginning of 2020, and there's a column there for the weekly death reports, and they lag about 6 weeks by the time the coroners and all the funeral directors get all their reports in. But you can look at the projected or the estimated versus the actual. And typically they track somewhere around 100% of estimate. And then that's all through the scamdemic too. And then they bring out the death jabs in the fall of 2020. And all of a sudden that number spikes 140%, 120%, 135% on a weekly death basis. You know what I call it? I call it the Fauci effect. But that's not what Fauci's calling the Fauci effect. There's a interview he was doing with some group of friendlies. I have it here, and I'd like to play it for you. And such hubris. He's got such pride. That's all I can say. The Fauci effect is what he's calling this next incredibly obscene demonstration of pride with his false or faux humility. Let's just take a listen to this 51-second clip.
It's called the Fauci effect, which is sort of like, you know, as, trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice, but I mean, people go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize. And what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people are craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul, believe it or not, that is the fraud Fauci in all of his vanity. He even had the audacity to throw J6 in there. And you notice how they do this? They're the ones with the misinformation. People like me and the others in the alt alt media movement, we share with you the facts, not some narrative, the facts. In truth, Fauci symbolizes lies, deceit. He's mad with power, folks. So, Mr. Fraud Fauci, here's a tip from me to you. And take it if you want, but I suppose you won't. You probably won't even hear it. Just get over yourself and let someone else take this job, because you have failed in the worst way during the scamdemic. In fact, it's beyond failure. It is fraud. And personally, folks, I doubt I'll ever be able to trust any medical professional again. I told you the story when I went to my primary physician because Terry insisted I get a checkup after that bio attack I had. Now, as scary as it is, I would rather trust homeopathy and natural cures and only use a doctor if I break a leg or have a serious infection or have something that needs to be cut out of my body. So, like I said, I'd rather trust the natural cures like Terry did with her cancer than risk the crazy crap we've been told to put our trust in, all of this big pharma poison and these brain-dead physicians. You know, people for the most part, I'm not speaking about everybody, and the ones that aren't brain dead but go along, their compliance is sickening. Now, I truly feel bad for those who had no choice and had to take the death jab. You know, people who either lost their job or had to take it, and they had 3 or 4 children at home and a wife who was raising the family and their jobs and livelihood depended upon it. You know, a lot of people got this untested, unproven shot because it was forced upon them. And beyond that, I'm telling you, I hope there's a Nuremberg-style trial and a hearing that gets all of this scam out into the open. Will it happen? I don't know. And every one of these physicians who took an oath first to do no harm, what about all of you? Did you even take any extra time and look into this stuff? So to last count, how many have died from this kill shot? Well, it's in the millions now around the world, folks. And how many are going to live the rest of their lives with some sort of adverse reaction that has now crippled them or impaired them in some way? How many families and friends will suffer the grief of losing a loved one when they didn't have to because that person was forced to take this vaccine, if you want to even call it that? Fauci, you had a chance to stop this in your tracks, but instead you chose not to. And you should stand trial and face the punishment for your actions. Or rather, inactions? Like I say, folks, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, usually, folks, I don't get into this rap music. You know, I like that McDonald. He does some good ones. And there's another one that just came up. It's really good. It's by Mike Adams. And I'd like to play it for you. Vaccine Zombie. Take a listen.
Standing in line for the vaccine shot. I hope I get mine, so believe it or not, I think I might die, yes, I take what they got. My brain's too fried, so I give it no thought, no thought. Cause the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're gonna pay for me. It's not too late for me. And now it's my turn to be injected. They say it's gonna hurt, but I'll be protected. And when they get the word, I do as I'm directed. I'm not the kind of person to do something unexpected.
I do everything the doctors tell me. Follow all those pills they tell me. I'm afraid that germs might kill me. Vaccine zombie, zombie. I forgot how to think for myself, yeah. I don't understand a thing about health, yeah. I do the same as everyone else. I'm a vaccine zombie, zombie.
Do you hear it?
When I took the shot, then my face turned blue. I started feeling hot inside, but I didn't have a clue what to do. My temperature was 102, and my nutsack shriveled up and fell off too. The nurse screamed that something was missing. She called the physician, he said he had a suspicion that the vaccine caused a neurological condition. And soon I would see the mortician.
They started cutting out my brain, happy as can be. Bunch of undead doctors, but from the CDC, I finally figured out what happened to me. When they said we got another
vaccine zombie.
Step 2, replace with zombie vaccine. Step 3, watch television for further instructions from the Centers for Zombie Control.
I do everything the doctors tell me.
Follow all those pills they tell me. I'm afraid that germs might kill me. Vaccine zombie, zombie. I forgot how to think for myself, yeah. I don't understand a thing about health, yeah. I keep it saying like everyone else. I'm a vaccine zombie.
Zombie. I always do it as requested. Like the media covertly suggested. You guessed it, I finally gave in and convinced it. I'd like to have my body and my brain medically molested. Don't wanna be arrested, so I don't protest it. I give another pint of blood just to test it. I'm not taking those herbs, I detest it. Just give me more drugs, gonna be ingested. Cause I'm a sucker for the ads, a sucker for the labs, a sucker for the swine flu jabs. And I don't mind following the medical fads. Cause living without a brain ain't half bad. Come and play,
come and play,
come and play,
come and play,
come and play in my vaccine lottery. You're gonna pay, you're gonna pay, cause the vaccine makes more profit than vitamin D. Listen up, the pharma vaccine ain't even safe. They stick it in your arm to a permanent harm. They treat you like a medical slave. Well, I'm afraid of invisible germs. Well, I'm afraid of parasites and worms. Well, I'm afraid of seasonal flu. I'm afraid of having sex with you. I'm afraid of my children's chicken pox. And my roommate's dirty socks. I don't believe all the news that's on television. I believe the official 9/11 commission. Those herbs are real, real quack to me. I get my food from my fast food factory. I got my fact trust, they're talking back to me. My medical myths are like fact to me. Cause everything I know came from TV. Everything they say at the CDC is true. You see, you have to agree with the words of a vaccine zombie.
Now, thank you, Mike. I'm telling you, he's a very talented guy, and that was very good. But now, one thing that I did take away from the entire CSRQ, Bill Sweet, Gideon, Oculum Labs debacle was to become a bit skeptical of all of these alt media superstars. I'm not talking about people like you and me that have a small podcast. I'm talking about the big names. I'm talking about these people who are literally bringing in millions upon millions of dollars. I just have a little bit of skepticism now. I look at him now and I just wonder, Mike, are you a gatekeeper? Or Stu Peters or Alex Jones, are you two gatekeepers? Well, I suppose time will tell. And one thing I know for sure is that we shouldn't put our trust in any man or woman except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his word, the Holy Bible. But right now, folks, I have to keep moving, and it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, riots, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve, boo means dance, dance. Ki means steal from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, we've all heard how most of the liberal establishment, including the woke corporations, all think that mail-in ballots are the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, Zuckerberg, what did he do? He spent hundreds of millions of dollars placing these drop boxes in all the swing state precincts, the specific ones like in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, and over in Michigan. Not all over the state, just the ones that needed to give them the boost with all the fake ballots. Well, that's part of their plan to steal the elections in 2020, and God only knows how many others in past elections through other methods. These are all hypocrites. But did you hear this latest story in hypocrisy? Starbucks asked the Labor Relations Board to suspend mail-in ballot for union elections in their stores, and they request that all future elections for union organizing be held in person. So they're asking this to happen. But aren't mail-in ballots the most secure way to vote? You know, this coffee shop chain has requested that all future union elections be held in person. Even Starbucks knows that mail-in ballots lead to fraud, and there's no chain of custody. NBC News is reporting that Starbucks is asking the Federal Labor Relations Board to suspend all mail-in ballots, all of them. In a letter from the chairman and general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board that they received from the coffee giant basically stated that they want all future elections suspended This all was driven by a Kansas City area organizing effort because they think there's fraud. There was some labor relations board whistleblower that approached the company, I guess, and alerted them to it. So there's more than 220 cafes from Starbucks that have voted to unionize. And that's the tally from the National Labor Relations Board as of last Friday. And there's an additional 34 elections being ordered. So get this. In addition to asking for a pause in all the scheduled mail-in elections in these U.S. stores, they're requesting that all future elections be held in person. This is insane, folks. So they basically admit there's fraud and mail-in balloting. That's right, Alvin, really. Now, we all know this is true. It's a major part of the Democrats and the RINOs' election scheme to steal the midterms. It's been done. And now they're even getting the U.S. Postal Service in on these mail-in ballots. The Democrats need mail-in ballots. The RINOs need mail-in ballots. They need the assistance of the U.S. Postal Service to pull this plan off. Now, there's a man named Chuck DeVore over at the Federalist that published a warning to the nation on this impending fraud in the midterms. He said the U.S. Postal Service announced on July 28th that it's creating the Election and Government Mail Services Division. Adrian E. Marshall, a United States Postal Service veteran, was named the division's first director, with Mark Elias, the Democrats' foremost lawfare professional, a longtime proponent of elections, also being involved with this. And he's out there tweeting his approval, and he's probably going to be involved. And there's all of this collusion amongst all of these deep state insiders. And, folks, if you cannot see the setup that's coming for the midterms, you're blind.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That's right, Gomer. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, some critical thinkers are out there saying, well, they're not hypocritical, Ken. They're 100% consistent with their efforts to manipulate process of election to achieve their outcome, their desire, their plan. And sometimes that might require being in favor of mail-in ballots and other times not. It all depends on the circumstances. You know, they're very pragmatic people, folks. They employ situational ethics, but they're 100% committed to undermining the democratic process and the destruction of this once great republic, which will eventually enslave or eliminate all dissent. So by ignoring the economic realities of all these things, and that's what you're seeing a lot of these big woke corporations doing right now, you could see that they have a bigger agenda. They have a bigger plan. You know, from Walmart announcing that they cut their orders for fourth quarter by like $12 billion. What's behind that? Target's doing the same thing. They are marching lockstep to the Great Reset, folks, and everything it entails. Remember, they use the Hegelian dialectic, perfected by Karl Marx, and it's known as dialectic materialism, and it's problem, reaction, solution. And that's what they're doing right now, folks. Problem, reaction, solution. And I have seen more of it now with this whole Mar-a-Lago FBI raid at Trump's residence. There's now this clip out there by MSNBC telling its viewers that civil war is here. And I have it up here somewhere, and I'm looking for it. I know how to do it. We'll do it with civil. Civil should bring it up. There it is. MSNBC tells viewers that civil war is here. So this, let me just set the stage for this. This is NBC's host Tiffany Cross talking about the FBI raid of Donald Trump's Florida home with the former National Security Council counterterrorism officer senior director Javid Ali, and this was last Friday. So just take a listen to this.
At the National Security Council. He's also an associate professor at the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. Javid, very happy to have you here. I know you have an op-ed in The Hill today titled Violent Threats Against the FBI Make Us Less Safe. for someone who worked at the FBI, what's your overall reaction to this reporting? And explain what you mean by it makes us all less safe.
Yeah, Tiffany, thanks for having me on. And my bottom line assessment, I've been saying this for the past week in several interviews, is that this is outrageous. The fact that the FBI and its personnel now feel like they are under threat from extremists and people who are really angry over the search from now almost a couple of weeks ago, I mean, that shouldn't happen. It's one thing for people to demand the FBI to be held accountable and for it to be transparent when it makes mistakes and does things wrong. We've seen unfortunate examples of that over the past few years with individuals in the organization. But what happened a couple of weeks ago with executing the search warrant was not the FBI operating outside its normal bounds or doing anything illegal, is doing its day-to-day job. And so the point of the op-ed was to say that as the FBI now is feeling a lot of pressure and staff are concerned and potentially, or a field office was, there was an attempted attack last week in Cincinnati, this has the potential to make the country less safe because the FBI is there to keep the country safe every day. And the more this goes on, the more it potentially could have this chilling effect within the organization. So that, as a former FBI official, I'm really concerned on that front.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting hearing you lay all that out because we keep saying this could be or this is what could happen. And I feel like what could be is happening right now. He has millions of armed supporters who he can manipulate at the drop of a dime. We saw that play out on January 6th on the U.S. Capitol. It was an attack on the United States government. We're seeing it play out at FBI field offices. At this point, I think it's challenging for us to sit around and say what's going to come. We have to deal with the reality of what's happening now. What should we as a country, as individuals, do to prepare because there's individual acts of violence? And what should the infrastructure of the country do to prepare for potential mass acts of violence that we saw, like we saw on January 6th, like we saw with a group of men trying to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan a few years ago?
Well, the rhetoric absolutely has to come down first, and that's from elected politicians, as you mentioned earlier, but also the rhetoric that's just out there in spades online that may not even be coming from politicians, but this wider pool of people who are just angry and upset. And within that wider pool, a much smaller number of people who are willing to act out violently. So we have to deal with the words and the rhetoric, and people have to be held accountable for putting this kind of toxic rhetoric out there. But people also have to understand that if they do try to mobilize to violent action, like the person did last week in Cincinnati, or someone tried earlier this week in Pittsburgh and he was arrested, there are consequences for those actions. You could be arrested for making threats, and you clearly will be arrested if you try to attack FBI personnel or like in the case of the Cincinnati person, attack an FBI field office. So this is not a consequence-free thing that people are engaged in, and if they're willing to go to the extreme levels, there will be consequences for that action.
You're saying, Tone, we have to deal with the rhetoric. And, you know, I agree with you, but it's not really rhetoric we can deal with. I mean, you have millions of people tuning into a propaganda network every night. And then, as if that were not bad enough, that's an extremist network itself, you have these fringe pop-up outlets, you know, from OWN to Newsmax. Then you have the social media component. That train has left the station. There is no let's deal with the rhetoric. At this point, I do think we have to have serious conversations around preparing for actual violence. People keep saying a civil war is coming. I would say a civil war is here. And I don't mean to be hyperbolic. We can look at what has happened just in the past week alone since all this has happened. We've had two people try to declare war with FBI field offices. I don't think at this point we're going to all pack up our bags and go home and sing Kumbaya. So from a law enforcement angle, what would you recommend the infrastructure of the country do? Because not everybody has the security of Capitol Hill.
Well, the FBI and DHS put out a bulletin last Friday, I believe. And so clearly within my former world, folks know that there is a heightened threat environment out there. And I would have to believe both in DHS and FBI, and I happen to work in both organizations, that the right steps are going forward, both in terms of physical security of people, but also ramping up efforts to make sure that if there are active plots or threats out there, that they can be disrupted in advance. So that's probably how it's going to be handled on the government side, and on the average everyday American side, it's just, you know, trying to be a responsible citizen. And you know, if you're hearing this rhetoric from a neighbor or a friend or something like somebody like that, you know, engaging in a conversation to try and cool things down. But right now, yes, the atmosphere in the U.S. is very heated. Hopefully we can de-escalate things. But in the meantime, I do believe there will be these attempts of these more lone offender type attacks that we've seen now over the past couple of weeks for people to try to act out. Finally, I don't think we are going to see a large-scale act of violence. Hopefully I'm right on that.
We hope.
Because those are always harder to pull together. But I do think that lone offender threat is the most likely one we're going to see for quite some period of time.
Yeah, well, I hope you are right about not seeing a large-scale act of violence. And I just have to say, it's just, I hear your point about having conversation. I don't know if it's my ministry to have a conversation with a MAGA supporter. They have proven to be woefully ignorant in many ways. So good luck to the folks out there who are trying to do that. Javed Ali, thank you so much for being here. We'll have to have you back really soon. And still ahead, Russia reportedly issues a frightening warning about a Ukrainian nuclear plant it's occupying. We're going to get a live report coming up next. This is really scary stuff, so you don't want to miss this. Stay right there.
Folks, did you hear that? I don't want to make my ministry talking to MAGA supporters. They're woefully ignorant on so many things. And did you hear Javed Ali say, well, try to be a good citizen, and we need to de-escalate. Folks, this is all the dialectic method. This is problem, reaction, solution. It's nothing more than deep state propaganda, and it's an act of a desperate power structure, a de facto power structure that's feeling threatened by the awakening of tens of millions of Americans, awakening to the deep state agenda and what they're planning on doing. You know, the folks, the truth is very simple. Conservatives in general simply want to reduce government spending and government interference in their lives. They don't want an IRS expansion. They want secure borders. They want a reduction in the fentanyl that's being smuggled in. And they want a return to law and order. They're saying, let's get tough again on the criminals. Not us, not we the people. So how are those sorts of concepts of the average MAGA person extreme? Wouldn't you say it's the concepts of this deep state establishment, these media hacks, the useful idiots, as Lenin and Stalin called them, that's actually extreme? How are these ideas the ideas of the woefully ignorant? These ideals embraced by conservatives are actually in opposition to socialism. And remember, they're in the middle of a war. It's an unconventional war, but it's a war, folks, just like she said. But they started the war. And remember, in their minds, in the minds of the commies and all their useful idiots, which the current regime literally are the least sympathetic to and the first to exterminate once they gain absolute and total power. Look in history. That's what happened with Hitler. That's what happened with Karl Marx and his disciples, from Mao Zedong to Lenin and Stalin. Now, the most infamous commie of all, the founder of it all, Karl Marx, said the meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. And that's what the current democratic rhino agenda embraces. And it's their plan to unite, and I say that loosely and sarcastically, the entire country. So they plan to unite it the same way the USSR was united. They're planning on using the same methods, you know, fear, violence, coercion, intimidation, because they can never do it all by the consent of the government, the governed, I should say, through a honest election. Yet, sadly, I'm telling you, there's a large number of the population out there who has been indoctrinated by those five ghosts, those stinking thinkers that I've been talking about in Ken's Corner for the last couple of weeks. You know, those people like Hegel and Feuerbach and Marx and who else was there? There was Freud. Those people have undermined the classic Judeo-values, Judeo-Christian values that we built Western culture on. you know, all the different things like reaping what you sow, the golden rule, do unto others as you'll do unto yourself. So these people in power, these people in the media, they believe that if there's no opposition to their socialistic plan from people like you and me, then there's peace. But that's not true peace, because peace without freedom is nothing more than slavery, folks. So because of this brainwashing, and that's what it is, folks, it's brainwashing by the embedded propagandists who wrongly believe that somehow being dependent upon the government will make everybody equal in some merry utopian way. Because of that, and because of this flawed plan to unite the people through eliminating any opposition to their socialistic agenda and becoming dependent upon the government, they think that anybody that opposes that is at war with them, but that's not true. And thank God so many of you out there are starting to wake up and believe in freedom and opportunity and independence. Thank God for that, folks. Now, Lenin embraced Marx's view about the meaning of peace being the absence of any opposition to their socialistic agenda. And you know that these communists actually said socialism is indispensable to communism. So that's where it ultimately ends up, folks. And all these propagandists in the big corporations, you know, the woke corps, the mainstream media, these people planning this new society refer to them as useful idiots. Now, that term useful idiot is a derogatory term that was first used by Stalin and Lenin. And it refers to the people like the parrots on our media outlets, the professors who parrot the same agenda in the schools from secondary education all the way up to universities, to the big biz governments and the media moguls and all the people that meet at Bilderberg and Davos. It's a term cynically used by these communist instigators to describe those people who are mindlessly going along to advance their agenda. And today, many on the left, the Democrats and the rhinos, believe that if it worked for Lenin, it should work for us too. Now, the thing they're not calculating, okay, is the fact that information moves much faster today, and there are too many outlets like this and other alt media to contain it. It's not as easy to kill the truth anymore, folks. But I'm telling you, this is very sad, and it's a very grave matter. So we've been serious long enough. Now let's lighten it up. I stumbled on this clip, and it's made to the Different Strokes for Different Folks TV show that was out years ago. It's called Different Hoax to Roll the World. So let's just have a listen to this 45-second clip.
Watch them on the news when they're trying to take your gun. A plan was born. It was built on greed, just like global warming too. Because all they really need is a different hoax. A different hoax, a different hoax to rule the world. Every liberal tells a fabricated story. They manufacture the headlines. All they know is that they got not a lot. So what? They own every social media online. And they ban you all the time. You take a different hoax to rule the world. Yes, it does. It takes a different hoax to rule the world.
That was enough. I think you got the point. So all I can say, folks, is destroy your TV, cut the cable, whatever you need to do to eliminate the programming methods. That way you're not going to be programmed to tolerate all these perversions. You won't be fooled by their satanic delusion or hoax or whatever you want to call it. Think about it. Why do you think they call it TV program or programming? Let it sink in. It's propaganda, folks. Gary and I even see it with a lot of the movies and shows we try to watch on the streaming services now. They're all designed to advance their globalistic agendas. So the solution? Just turn it off and then look around. Put on some good music. Put on a documentary. Put on a classic thing other than the mainstream. And just observe. Just look around. Look outside. I'm looking outside right now. It's beautiful. The sky's blue. The foliage is nice and rich. I saw this beautiful buck last night when I was mowing the field. If you get outside of their programming, you'll see the world in a completely different perspective. So why don't you go ahead and try that experiment? Just turn it off for a week and just observe what is around you. Is the world falling apart? Is it really that crazy? Well, you know the answer, and the answer is no. So why don't you email what you've observed. Email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you come up with. It'll be an eye-opener, folks, I'm telling you. But right now it's time for our latest, newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. You'll find the end of the wizard of Oz. If ever a wizard of Oz. If ever a wizard of Oz. There was the wizard of Oz. He won because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Now, folks, you know, if you listen to the show at any amount of time, and I did an entire show years ago on The Wizard of Oz and all of the symbology in there, and just like Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass was a political statement of the politics of the time in England, The Wizard of Oz was a political statement on the politics of the time, and it was a great battle between the gold interests and the silver interests in this country, and that's what the Yellow Brick Road symbolized, folks. It's money, and remember, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So we talked about the CBDC, and I've covered Bill Sweet and the honeypot operation he's doing. But you know, folks, there is a lot of truth behind that. The CBDC, the central bank digital currency, is coming, and it will be tied to your social credit score and a lot of stuff. I'll give Bill Sweet this. 99% of everything he's talking about is correct. But here's where the lie is. Here's the 1% rat poison that's mixed in with the food that kills you. He's not going to give you sovereign status if you send him $1,400 worth of Bitcoin. He's not going to keep your account active if you send him $100 a month as a maintenance fee. He's a scammer, folks. But there is truth into what Bill says, and that's how people like that are so effective. Well, this week, Joe Rogan interviewed Majid Usman Nawaz. He's a British podcaster and truth exposer, and he has quite a big following. And they're having a conversation about the central bank digital currency that's coming. You know, Biden, we've covered this. He covered an executive order on it, and it's going to go into effect on December 13th, I believe it is. And there's all sorts of preparations going on for this, and it is tied to your social credit score, and there is talk about this universal basic income, and there is talk about the collapse of the dollar and the loss of all your savings denominated in dollars and the collapse of the stock market and all of your savings for retirement. This is all out there, and it's being talked about by the financial types each and every day. So let's have a listen to Joe Rogan and Majid Usman Nawaz talk about the central bank digital currency. It's a 7-minute and 51-second clip.
Do you feel like you're sounding the alarm?
Yes.
For people that don't understand what the f*** is going on?
So here, I'll put it up for you here, yeah? So there's the video.
Yeah.
I don't know if your camera can see that, but
no.
There's the video. There's him speaking about it.
The G7 is launching a set of public policy principles for retail central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Central bank digital currencies could be a digital version of money, a bit like a digital banknote that could be used alongside physical notes and coins. Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK.
Right, so that's the guy who runs our economy in the UK. His name's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And here is the article. Bank of England tells ministers to intervene on digital currency programming, yeah? And here's a quote from the article. This is in the Telegraph, the one he pulled up, okay. But it was behind a paywall, so I'll just read the quote. Digital cash could be programmed to ensure it is only spent on essentials or goods which an employer or government deems to be sensible.
Holy.
I'm going to take it one step further for you, Joe, right? So the vaccine passport infrastructure is in place. But now we know that the vaccine doesn't stop infection or transmission, but the checkpoint Charlie exists everywhere. They bring in digital banking, central banking digital currencies. You've got a scenario now that you're checking in and out everywhere you go using vouchers that are programmed and you can only spend where you're told you can spend them. There's another word for that, man. That's called the Chinese social credit system. That's what it's called. And anyone who watches Black Mirror will know what I'm talking about. That's that TV show, right?
Yeah.
So what they are telling us, and when I say they, who's they? People in power. That's the head of our economy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, second most powerful person other than the Prime Minister and maybe the Foreign Secretary in the UK, right? He's telling us, I just played it there for you, he's telling us that's what he, as the UK, the head of the G7, want to bring in for the G7. So a scenario where, like in New York at the moment, because the passport infrastructure is in place, you bring in that digital currency and you've got this total control. And if I'm speaking to you the way I'm speaking now, and my employer or government, you heard that in the quote directly, yeah, deems me as saying or doing something inappropriate, suddenly I can't actually pay to come here and speak to you anymore. My digital currency won't even pay for the ticket because it will be known that I'm coming to speak to you. Sorry, your vouchers don't allow you to purchase that ticket to go and speak to Joe.
Instead of another book, I'll recommend a TV series. I think that Black Mirror is maybe the best science fiction TV show of the last year.
In this world, we're all so caught up in our own heads. It's easy to lose sight of what's real.
You said you don't know how much time there is. What does that mean?
It's important that you realize there is a small medical procedure involved.
Sorry for a game.
I didn't expect to find myself living in this future, but here I fucking well am.
So you recently logged your first kill.
Huh?
And how did that feel?
They filmed me.
Through my computer camera.
You ready?
If we drill down into the numbers, you have got a solid popularity arc here.
No one is this happy. A two-year-old with a fucking balloon isn't this happy.
Singularity is when computers learn to outsmart man like women did. Years ago.
You are so adorable.
We're genuinely empathetic as a species. We don't actually really want to kill each other.
Gotcha.
Once you can connect directly brains and computers, you can, I mean, the idea that your entire body must be in the same place at the same time, I mean, my hands must be connected to my body in order to function. This is true of organic hands. It's not true of bionic hands. I can sit here and do this talk show and wash dishes at home at the same time because my brain can be connected to my bionic hands anywhere. A good two-way communication system, direct communication system between brains and computers, this is kind of the watershed moment. I mean, once you have a good two-way, nobody has any idea what happens after that. If you have a good two-way communication system directly between brains and computers, it also means you can connect several brains together to create an interbrain net with the because it's the same system, the same communication system. And nobody has any idea what this means for things like identity. Who am I when I can access directly the brain of another person?
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing, just as an example. It's you who are changed, and of course this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me, so whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian regimes, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin.
Wow. So I forgot to mention that that is also a, it was an assembly. So we started with Joe Rogan and the whole CBDC, and then there was some other information. There was other information in that clip. Did you hear Yuval Noah Harari talk about the inner brain network? Folks, that's the beast hive mind of the book of Revelation. And then he's actually saying, you know, we use these crises. We use the Marxist method of dialectic materialism, problem, reaction, solution, to advance our agenda. And then did you hear that one point in there where he said, you know, when we agree to be 100% surveilled by the authorities, even in democratic societies, not just in totalitarian regimes. What's the difference, folks? Anyways, my point with all of this is that people are waking up, and it's all about money and control. For the love of money is the root of all evil. But people are waking up. This next clip, it was a Gen Z guy, and you know, he has some fairly poor English. He's a product of the education system, but the mind of man is incredibly resilient, and minds will seek truth. That's just the nature, who has incredibly poor grammar, speaks truth. Listen to this 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Imagine buying a brand new house for $12,000. That's what it costed in 1959. Now, before you get mad and say that doesn't make sense because wages have also gone up since 1959, I got a spreadsheet for you. So average income in 1959 was $5,000. Average income in 2022 is $51,000. So that's a 1,000% increase, not bad. A new house in 1959 cost $12,000. In 2022, $453,000, a 3,658% increase. If you could save your entire income, it would have taken you 2.4 years to save for a new house in 1959. In 2022, it takes almost 9 years. Essentially, we have to save for 3.5 times longer than people in 1959, or in other words, work 3.5 times harder. It's the same story with cars and rent, but what really baffled me was tuition to Harvard. In 1959, it cost $1,250 for tuition. In 2022, $52,000. That's a 4,000% increase, which equates to 4 times more expensive after adjusting for modern incomes. Inflation is literally time theft.
Now, it's encouraging to hear that. You know, that TikTok video got 1 million views. So it's nice to see the Gen Z's finally starting to wake up and realize that inflation is time theft. And that's what it is. I've been saying that for years, folks. So the average, and now there are some people, naysayers out there saying things like this. Well, the average new house is way better and larger than those simple 900-square-foot bungalows from 1959. I actually heard a TED Talk on this week. It was really funny. I stumbled on this clip, and then I hear Terry playing a TED clip in the living room. I had just gone to bed, about a guy talking about how we live in these little McMansions today. And he gave the same example for cars back in 1959. You know, they had manual steering, manual brakes, no AC, no safety features, an AM radio, manual door locks. I could go on and on. So they were simple vehicles. They only lasted 80 to 100,000 miles on a good day. And how much does a 900-square-foot house with no air conditioning, a one-stall garage cost today? How much is a stripped-down Camry today or a Corolla? You know, those are the naysayers. Well, to that line of thinking, I say BS, pure BS. You know, most people back in 1959 didn't buy 900-square-foot bungalows. And that's the fact if you go and dig into it. And a side note, HVAC costs a minuscule portion of an overall housing cost. However, let's just go with a 900-square-foot pad, okay? And let's not factor anything else. Let's look at a condo today, because that's typically what you get. You don't even get a house anymore. You don't get a 900-square-foot bungalow. You get a condo. And do you know what the square footage cost is on that 900-square-foot condo? Try $865 per square foot. Folks, there's even fewer square feet in these condos than there were in that 900-square-foot bungalow from the 50s. $862 per square foot. That's $1.1 million for the same size condo, a house that you could have bought in the 50s for $12,000. And I can do the same thing with cars, folks. Today, cars are made cheap out of plastic. They fall apart. Yeah, the engines last longer. But did you know power steering was introduced back in 1951 by Chrysler? Power-assisted brakes go all the way back to the 20s. Safety features in cars don't quadruple and quintuple the price of a vehicle. So anyways, I've got lots of data on this, and all I say to all these naysayers and these people on TED Talks is go away, you libtards, go away. Right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for Prep Talk with Henrietta. Where are you at, there she is. Hey, Henrietta, good morning. Hey, guess what? We've got a small flock now, and they're down to virtually no eggs. And one of them must have heard me talking to Terry, and they're starting to lay eggs again. So usually a flock will start to get lazy with regard to laying eggs, and what you have to do is call your flock. I say I take them on vacation, permanent vacation to the North 40. Sometimes we give them to people who like to keep pets, but really you get about 3 or 4 good years out of a flock. And then it's time to retire the flock and start new. And then you get some beautiful eggs, folks, beautiful farm-fresh eggs. But that's not what I want to talk to you about today. What I want to talk to you about today, you know, last week talked about having a healthy body, and I compared it to maintaining our cars, you know, using good gasoline, to eating good food, changing our oil to detox, exercising our vehicles so the seals in the engine and transmission don't dry out and the fuel lines remain clean and don't gum up, and to avoid environmental exposure so that the cars don't fall apart as they age. I mean, you take care of a good 60, 70, 80-year-old antique, and that thing still runs incredibly well. But to achieve a healthy body, you can't do that without other considerations. So for a healthy body, I mentioned that you need to have a happy soul, and you can only have a happy soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, if you have a Holy Spirit, or should I say, the Holy Spirit in your spirit. You know, it says in Proverbs 27, verse 20, best rendered in the New King James, for the lamp of the Lord, for the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, which illuminates the heart, or gives light to the soul, put another way. So, folks, in order to have a healthy body, we have to have a happy soul. And to have a happy soul, we have to have a Holy Spirit working in us so that we are in perfect synergy between body, soul, and spirit. And when we're functioning with unction, which means under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, who is president in our lives, not merely present, but president in our lives, actually directing us and guiding us the way God promised us so we could function. That's the promise, folks, that we're going to talk about later in the show. That's the promise, to function with unction day in and day out. You know, God promised us that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, where the writer said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, you know, your faith, which hath great recompense of reward, great promise of reward in the future here. For ye have need of patience, that ye, having done the will of God, might receive the promise. Now, that promise is nothing less than totally awesome. And I use that word very appropriately here, folks. That word awesome is thrown around. That should only be reserved to God things. And here is a promise from God. Okay, the promise. Okay, that's what it says. Might receive the promise. And what is that promise? That promise is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what St. Paul wrote in his epistle. But I'm going to talk more on that at the end of the podcast, okay? So we have this incredible gift of God. We're made new creatures. And when we're a new creature, all things are made new. We have our lamps filled. That gives light to our soul. We're no longer wandering around aimlessly. And we are literally doing what God wanted us to do, functioning with unction. But more on that later, folks. And if this type of thing helps you, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, or if you have my private phone number, text me and let me know. Say, hey, Ken, this is the type of thing I need. I need to hear more of this type of thing, because I need your direction, folks, to know what to do with these shows and the content. But right now, we have to keep moving. It's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Okay, so folks, we have this truth that's getting out in all sorts of unconventional means right now. We played Mike Adams' clip, the rap clip. You know, I talked about Tom McDonald and some of his great rap videos. Well, there's another team out there. It's called Bryson Gray and Tyson James. You know, this FBI raid, what happened a week and a half ago now? Coming up on 2 weeks here. There's a music video. I'm talking a professionally produced first-class music video out there, not even anything like Mike Adams did or I did with my coronavirus hype 2.5 years ago. I'm talking a professionally produced rap video. And like I said before, I'm not really into rap, but just take a listen to this. It's full of truth.
Ha, ha, ha. I went down. Somebody gotta do it. Coming for your rights, can you pay attention? Hey, now you see the ones protected by the system. Hey, they raided Trump's house, why they ain't raided Clinton's? And for this, I'm Hunter Biden, but he ain't in prison. Talk to justice system, but they want you to forget. Cause your wise and signaling why they hide the list. Ignore Clinton body count like it don't exist. Obey or they gon' ruin you if you don't submit. It's so crazy, they let liberals get away with murder. Did we forget Hillary's emails, they write the server. Joe and Hunter don't talk business, huh? They some liars. Why did Joe meet Bobby Ulinski about his deals in China? Hey, who the big guy? Who getting 10%? So much money to Ukraine, how much have we spent? In a recession, never mind, cause they changed what it meant. And they mess with little kids, but you still on the fence. Hey, be ready for war, cause they won't smoke with we the people. I guess smoking crack is cool, but doing mean tweets is illegal. And they persecute Alex Jones, but you think justice is equal. And this country is ran by demons, it's time to destroy evil. They're coming for your rights, can you pay attention? Hey, now you see the ones protected by the system. Hey, they raided Trump's house, why they ain't raided Clinton's? And for this, I'm Hunter Biden, but he ain't in prison. Truth to justice system, but they want you to forget. Cause your wise and signaling why they hide the list. Ignore Clinton body count like it don't exist. Obey or they gon' ruin you if you don't submit.
Hey, the cleanest catching bodies out here hitting licks. Biden fist bumping the sodies, we ain't in his dance.
We see Hunter on the laptop getting intimate. But they coming after we the people and it's imminent. What's up with that raid, huh? You think we afraid, huh? You declaring war and we all ready to crusade, huh? We were made for war and they ain't ready for that fade, huh? Every single snowflake gonna melt when we invade, huh? We want that list and we want every single name. Every single person on it needs to be defamed. Then get the gasoline and get them ready for the flame. But no, you'd rather raid the 45th than point the blame. Bunch of suckers.
They coming for your rights, can you pay attention? Ayy, now you see the ones protected by the system. Ayy, they raided Trump's house, why they ain't raided Clinton's?
Why?
F for this upon the Biden, but he ain't in prison.
To the justice system, but they want you to forget.
Close your eyes and see Nolan, why they hide the list? Ignore Clinton body count like it don't exist. Obey or they gon' ruin you if you don't submit.
Okay, we get the point there. Now, like I said, I don't usually get into rap, but when you have people like Tom McDonald and Bryson Gray and Tyson James and even Mike Adams out there using that genre, get the truth out, I'm telling you, it's very refreshing to hear those lyrics truthfully reflecting what's actually going on in great depth. So these are two well-informed rappers. And then you got Tom McDonald and Mike Adams. And that alone has made me learn to appreciate rap music. Now, they mention names and things that 95% of the country doesn't know anything about, yet they're addressing this in a genre that's going to get out to a lot of people. That's why it's in the Hopium Report. And that's what I'm praying is going to wake people up, folks. So all I can say to you rappers out there that are doing it, the Tom McDonalds, the Bryson Grays, and Tyson James, right on, way to go. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. And now it's time for the Absurdian Report and all the craziness
Ladies
going on in the
world. Ladies
and
gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Okay, so, you know, this whole transgender narrative that's just going crazy now, from the pride marches with the little children to the reveal parties for the new gender identity that grandmas are just going gaga over. Well, it's all over the place, folks. It truly is. And it's even starting to be picked up by the hospitals, the children hospitals in general. So this first clip is from Boston Children's Hospital, and it's absurd. And that's why it's in the Absurdian Report. Just have a listen, then I'll give you my thoughts on it.
A child will often know that they are transgender from the moment that they have any ability to express themselves, and parents will often tell us this. We have parents who tell us that their kids, they knew from the minute they were born, practically, and actions like refusing to get a haircut or refusing to stand to urinate, trying on siblings' clothing, playing with the quote opposite gender toys, things like that. There is more and more a group of adolescents that we are seeing that really are coming to the realization that they might be trans or gender diverse a little bit later on in their life. So what we're seeing from them is that they always sort of knew something was maybe off and didn't have the understanding to know that they might be trans or have a different gender identity than the one they had been assigned. So that is a growing population that we are seeing and that's being recognized as being trans and able to be treated.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul. This woman, this physician, was serious, and she's talking about trusting the science. And then, did you hear that line? A growing population, folks. These things aren't normal, okay? And if the numbers are becoming so, first of all, if something isn't normal, it's abnormal, and that's not a derogatory statement. That's just an observation, a reality. And if the abnormal is gaining in popularity, then there has to be some other influence other than just environment or genetics, if you want to go that route. But it is all environmental. There has to be a coercion going on. So now playing with the opposite gender toys is a sign that your child's, you know, transgender. So if that's happening, is there anything I can do about it? Well, then Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, right down the road from me, folks. And, boy, I grew up with Pittsburgh Children's Hospital. I never had to go, but my little brother did. There was a big fundraiser here with Jack Bogut on KDKA. They had the Farkleberry cookie, and you used to put money in for the children's hospital. And it was a very respected institution here in Pittsburgh. But listen to this. So, okay, your child's playing with a different toy. Boston Children's Hospital told me that means they could be trans. So what's the solution? Well, listen to what Pittsburgh Children's Hospital recommends. Again, another physician.
Hi, my name is Priya Dhar. I'm one of the doctors at the Center for Adolescent and Young Adult Health here at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. I wanted to talk to you guys today a little bit about puberty blockers. Puberty blockers are basically a medication that says, hey, let's just put a pause on puberty. And that can be really beneficial for younger kids who have already started the puberty process, who either might go through a lot of psychological distress as they go through puberty if they're struggling with gender dysphoria, or for somebody who's saying, hey, I'm not really sure if I feel comfortable in my body or what gender I truly identify with.
Wow. You know, folks, in the past, when fell in the streets and truth was slain, so to speak, and truth became relative, your truth is one thing, my truth is another. No, truth is truth. Water's wet. Air is less dense than water. Water has three phases, solid, liquid, and gas. These are truths, folks. But prior to that, when something deviated from the normal by some sort of significant degree, it was referred to as abnormal. Now, like I said before I played that clip, that's no judgment. That's just a classification. This is normal. This is abnormal. And normal is just the aggregate of the population that you're studying. Okay? Everybody's a little bit abnormal. Just depends to the degree that you deviate from the norm. But that gets into statistics and the analysis of data. So something that's abnormal is rare and unique. And these LGBTQX folks, they are abnormal. Not a judgment, just an observation. Not a condemnation, just an observation. Just a statement of fact. But let's go a step further and add a little perspective from the Bible on this. Now, if we step back today and look at what happened in Nazi Germany during World War II and building up to it, these were literally atrocities. You know, from the Holocaust to all of the eugenics, to the experiments that were done by Mengele, you know, those raunchy, rancid medical experiments, pure evil. And that's what they were. Guess what? This entire atrocity of the Third Reich, that's for the Fourth Reich. And the Book of Lamentations warned us about this. Now, we know what the precedent for true evil is, okay? One great example of true evil were the medical experiments done by the angel of death himself, Joseph Mengele, on young Jewish children. Now, what he'd do is he'd go out and kidnap these children at gunpoint, and then he would perform chemical and physical castration on children. Did you know that? Yeah, this was happening back in the 30s and 40s in Germany. Now, today it might seem a little bizarre or odd, yet it's tragic. Especially when you see what's happening in 2022 with the deep state doing the exact same thing. You know, there are parents right now that resist this, and they're having their children taken away from them at gunpoint. Today we call it transgender rights, and it's being applied even to babies and toddlers. You know, we played that clip of the chemical castration from the What Is a Woman documentary. Folks, this is the devil, alive and well, doing business with your children through his minion, you know, those folks that Lenin called useful idiots. Now, the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 16, "For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed." And folks, all good has to do for evil to prevail is nothing. So today we hear people in the mainstream media and these medical types like we heard at Boston Children's Hospital and Pittsburgh Children's Hospital say that children under the age of 18 can make these decisions. Yet we have other talking heads telling us that an 18-year-old's too immature to drink alcohol, and so they need to be carded, and you have to be over a certain age, 21 in most cases, to drink alcohol. And that's true. They say that somebody under the age of 18 is too immature to buy a gun. And I'll agree with that. That's true. And they're too immature to serve in our military. They're too immature to vote. And to all of that, I say true. Yet somehow, these very young children are somehow mature enough to know that they're transgender. A three-year-old little boy who picks up his sister's Barbie doll and is playing with it. And if you ever watch a boy play with a Barbie doll, a lot of times he may, but he uses it like a hammer and he's pounding on something with the Barbie. That's how a boy uses it. Or a girl that picks up a truck, watch sometimes. Yeah, she may pick up a truck, but she tries to treat it like a baby doll. Folks, stop and think about this critically. What moron would ever be a good parent who thinks that his child is capable of being chemically castrated and happy or satisfied with that effect for the rest of their life because they played with the opposite gender's toy when they were 3 years old? That six-year-old girl playing with her brother's army men, is that a signal for her parents to transition her to a boy? PhD to think that's normal. And that's typically what happens. These people get these advanced degrees and they get so caught up in stinking thinking they can't see the truth through all these lies. And if you're a doctor and you're not a moron, let's assume you're not. Let's assume that you're a capable, critically thinking physician and you just did that piece for the Boston Children's Hospital or Pittsburgh Children's Hospital. And if you're not a moron, that makes you no better than those Nazi doctors that worked for Joseph Mengele. You see my point here? But hold on. This utter depravity even gets worse. There is this piece out of Fox 26 Houston where a social worker is telling one of her 14-year-olds in her custody to become a prostitute. Have a listen to this three-minute report.
And we begin tonight with a story that you'll only see here on Fox. An employee with Child Protective Services is caught on camera telling a 14-year-old girl in foster care to become a prostitute.
That's right, and this girl is one of hundreds of kids in CPS custody living in hotels all over the state. Fox 26's Randy Wallace, live from Southwest Houston, here with this story. Randy, the exclusive.
Yeah, Jonathan, now earlier this year, a federal judge scorned Child Protective Services for making kids available for prostitution in the CPS system. Now we have a case where an employee with that state agency is actually encouraging prostitution of a 14-year-old child.
They'll be a hoe, be a real hoe.
Wouldn't they remove a child from a parent that told their child to be a prostitute?
They should. And they would.
Keisha Basley has 9 kids. She turned to Child Protective Services to help her with her 14-year-old daughter, who she says was running away and causing trouble at school.
My daughter told me that the worker had been telling her that she should do these things, so she said she decided to video her.
CPS is housing the girl at a hotel. She's one of dozens in Harris County. In the video, she tells the CPS employee she wants food. The CPS worker tells her to be a prostitute.
I mean, she was basically encouraging a 14-year-old girl to become a prostitute.
And giving her an incentive to do so, and almost a threat of not having her needs being met if she didn't do what this woman very explicitly told her to do.
If I, me, the parent, was to do something like this to my child, I would be bashed. I would be called a horrible parent. I would lose my kids.
Vasley filed a formal complaint with CPS.
This should not happen to girls in their care. This should not happen. This is unacceptable.
Jamie Masters, the commissioner of CPS, came to Houston to personally apologize to Vasley and her daughter.
I've never seen that happen before, where a commissioner of CPS comes in from Austin just to apologize about something that's horrible that's been done to a child and a parent involved with CPS.
I do not believe that that was genuine. I really don't.
It's bad enough if it's one rogue caseworker. It concerns me that it may be bigger than that, and they need to investigate this and make sure that it's not just one person, and they've got to figure out a way to protect these kids.
CPS sent us the following prepared statement. DFPS is aware of the video and has taken action. The person in the video, who was employed as CPS support staff, was dismissed from her position August 10th. The safety and appropriateness with which children in care must be treated is our paramount concern. Nothing less will be tolerated. Reporting live from the Southwest Side, Randy Wallace, Fox 26 News.
Paul, I know it's absurd, and it is bigger than just this one example. Folks, these protective services on a state level, so here up here in Pennsylvania it's called CYS. It has different acronyms in different states, but it has been shown that this is part of the trafficking network, these foster care systems. It's a big source of the children who disappear. You know, they go to foster care, they run away, quote unquote, and they're never heard of again. They end up on a milk carton. Yeah, it's big, folks. You know, I remember a time when people like this social worker would have been arrested and actually charged, tried, and jailed for what they used to call contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Same thing that's going on with all these pride parades and these drag dances and all these things that are family-friendly. Those would all have been classified as contributing to the delinquency of a minor just 20 years ago. And don't even get me started on what it had been like back in the 70s or 80s. Encouraging a minor to prostitute herself, folks, this is absolutely contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Yet that social worker didn't get arrested. She just got fired. I guess it's just too much expect for laws to be enforced anymore. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. And here's the point I want to make today, because I've told you that a lot of times. That passage finishes with, and equity cannot enter. And that's the whole thing right there. That's the essence of the scam from the top to the bottom. This CPS worker says outlandish things in that video and gets fired for it. And the victim, mom, if she did it, would probably get sued and sent to jail. Now, here's an angle. What if that worker and that mom are working together on it? Just think about it. So she gets sued by mom. She loses her job, but she's not going to go to jail. And then her and mom, they split the settlement. And the taxpayers are forced to support the entire settlement. Just saying. You know, this didn't all start with Obama. This didn't all start with 9/11. You can wind this all the way back to Lyndon Johnson, who took over after Kennedy was murdered by the CIA and George Bush, and his Great Society. That was just another deep state tactic. And I was just talking to one of my customers named Jack, and he said it. And I thought, boy, isn't that curious? I'm going to actually talk about this in today's podcast. But nonetheless, this goes back to the deep state's tactic to dumb down America and to get people on welfare and destroy the nuclear family and get rid of dad. And today they're making millions more dependent on tax dollars and hence easier to control while getting the husbands out of the equation and destroying the home and the nuclear family and then bleeding it off with taxes. And I can go on and on and on about this, folks, but right now we have to keep moving. I'm looking at the clock, and it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So we've been talking about these different ghosts from the past, ghosts that haunt us with regard to our worldview, our way of thinking, our education system. We talked about Hegel and Feuerbach and Marx and Freud. And what did all these people lead to? Well, the result or the product of all this stinking thinking is none other than Adolf Hitler. You know, he was a fan of Karl Marx, but he had an idea that was better than Marx. His idea was Nazism. And he wrote about it in Mein Kampf. So I shouldn't really say he's a fan of Karl Marx. He was opposed to communism, but he took a lot of good lessons from Marx, okay? And here's what he wrote in Mein Kampf. No more than nature desires the mating of the weaker with the stronger individual, even less does she desire the blending of a higher and a lower race. Remember, Hitler was a racist, okay? And he was all about the Aryan nation. And I continue. Since if she did, her whole work of higher breeding over perhaps hundreds of thousands of years, there's that evolution lie again from Darwin, might be ruined with one blow. All great cultures of the past perished only because the originally created race died from blood poisoning. Isn't that what they're doing today with the jab? Isn't that going to destroy Homo sapiens? Isn't that part of the foundation to bring in human two, the transhuman chimera of the 21st century? Anyways, I continue. The man who creates the culture must be preserved. Preservation is bound up with the rigid law of necessity and the right to victory of the best and the strongest in the world, end quote. That's just another way of saying what was coined after the Darwin atrocity, survival of the fittest. Then Hitler goes on to say, those who want to live, let them fight. And those who do not want to fight in this world of eternal struggle do not deserve to live. Even if this is hard, this is how it is. So that's what led to the gas ovens, folks. Now, you may be thinking, well, the gas ovens were just downright terrible, bro, Ken. And that's true. But what about the abortion business in America today? Did you see the outrage when Roe v. Wade? They didn't outlaw abortion. All they said is it's not for us to determine. That's a state's decision to make. And did you see how the people went wild, crazy? You know, that's a very grisly business, folks, taking little babies, the weakest of all creatures, because they are defenseless and unable to defend themselves, and literally liquidate them. You know, Hitler's argument for extermination of the Jews were that they were non-persons. That's the same thing they're saying about these quote-unquote fetuses. Unless you happen to have an accident because you're under the influence of alcohol and you kill a pregnant mother, then you get charged with double homicide. So just like Hitler is reclassifying Jews as non-persons, that's what the current culture is doing with the unborn. And that's the product of this stinking thinking. And that's exactly why we shouldn't be following these ghosts that are literally haunting the Western culture. Then it's only a little step more for the doctors to move from pulling little babies out of the wombs of their mother to taking a needle and syringe and helping someone who's depressed or someone who's too old to just get out of the way of this crowded world. Another version of survival of the fittest, folks. Just look at all these demonic protests around the country right now since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Really? These are all the protests of literally a death cult. Now, the truth is that these ideas have been around for a long, long time. They go all the way back to the Bible and the sacrifice of children to the god Moloch. They were actually born in the pits of hell. And there's just been a resurgence of these twisted, warped ideas that have been in the grave for literally centuries. But now, since they've sown the wind, so to speak, we're reaping the whirlwind. But I'm not discouraged, and here's why. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And folks, these are strongholds. The masses are literally prisoners of their minds. And God has given us kingdom authority. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Read for yourself, folks, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And so one thing they do not have on their side is the truth. And another thing they don't have on their side is the Holy Spirit and the promise that we're going to get into later in this message. So I'm telling you what we as Christians have to do. We must take the word of truth, and we must couple it with the spirit of truth and hold up the Christ of truth. And we need to get out of that boat like Peter did with both feet and trust that it's true and walk by faith and not by sight. Folks, I'm telling you, the days are short, and I can go on and on. But just one more thing before we do, regarding trans children. You know, they're victims of this cult mentality. Cults are looking for vulnerable people. And who's more vulnerable in our culture than the little children, the innocent? You know, these cult members are very adept at identifying and then promising a way out of their grief or their misery or whatever it is. Well, and just as a side note, it's been pretty much proven now that monkeypox is only being transmitted via seminal fluid. So I have a question for you. How did that dog in France get monkeypox around its anus when it shared a bed with two homosexual men? How are these children right now coming down with monkeypox if it's been proven that it's pretty much transmitted only by seminal fluid? How is that? And there's a medical paper out on that. If you don't believe me, folks, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. I'm telling you, folks, these children are victims. They are victims of a cult, and any cult never delivers on its promises. So take a depressed child, convinced that the cult can solve his depression, convinced that the cult can make her happier if she simply adopts the other gender name and goes about wearing the other gender's clothing, pretending to be a man if she's a woman, pretending to be a woman if he's a man. And so it escalates. And then he has to take hormones, and then he has to take puberty blockers and all these crazy things. And then he gets mutilated. And this gender affirmation is supposed to make him happy, but it doesn't. Then the person's just depressed because they're mutilated. And the cult has failed to deliver on its promises. But it's actually made worse, folks. Because by the time this child, this victim, realizes what they've done or allowed to happen to them or their parents did without their knowledge, it's simply too late to go back. Whatever the demons had done is irreversible. And now he has to live, or she has to live their life with this burden. Now, while the original demons may be identifiable, and they have names, you know, we have Molech, we have Aphrodite, we have Mammon. The mutilations done by this cult is irreversible. We do have a weapon of warfare, and it's spiritual warfare. And I could get into this, and I've done numerous shows on spiritual warfare in the past. But why do you think the suicide rates of these trans people are so high? It's because the treatment for their quote-unquote mental illness isn't working. It's like I said back at Coop Talk. You have to have a Holy Spirit directing a happy soul to have a healthy body. They are not functioning with unction. More on that next week, okay? But right now, it's time for Back to the Future. That episode or that segment in this episode where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Hey, folks, I just wanted to tell you, I don't know if you can hear it on your end, but I'm getting clicks on, off, on, off, on, off. A little interesting. I'm starting to suspect that my line, my cell phone, is being tapped, but that's another story for another day. Right now, like I said, I want to talk about something from the past, and that's propaganda. Now, it's been around for millennia. You can see it on some hieroglyphics in Egypt. You can see it on various stones found in the desert from various fallen civilizations. But it's never really come to the forefront until the advent of the 20th century mass media. Now, the Gutenberg Press back in, I think it was the 14 or 1500s, started the entire movement with propaganda, but it was perfected with mass media and broadcasts, you know, radio, television, the internet. Propaganda really came to its head in the 20th century. Now, in the past episode, it wasn't last week, we talked about the Rolling Stone article on Operation Mockingbird. You remember in 1949, the CIA director, his name was Frank Wisner, we covered all this, was given a task to create an organization to manipulate the media and direct the actions of the United States and other countries around the world through manipulation, through lies, through propaganda. And that was known as Operation Mockingbird. Now, they justified it by saying, we have to fight communism. There's always that problem, reaction, solution. They were actually using the Marxist methodology of dialectic materialism to actually move towards more communism. So the government starts this as their stated objective. We've got to fight communism. They get journalists on board. They get mainstream media on board. They even get the movie studios on board. You know, we've talked about all this time and time again. Now, we can sit there and argue about the ethics of Operation Mockingbird, but there's no argument about its effectiveness. It's incredibly effective. I can't tell you how many people today I hear saying, I don't know what's true anymore. And the CIA director said that it will be complete. I think it was CIA Director Casey, when people no longer know what to believe is true. So Operation Mockingbird has been fulfilled. It has met its stated goal. Maybe that's why they label CNN as entertainment, not news. In fact, did you know that if you look at the origin of the word news, look at the etymology of the word news, it actually means entertainment. Just a thought, folks. Maybe a topic for another day. Alarming fact is that the mainstream media is literally a cesspool of manipulation and thought control. And 99% of the people have no clue that they're being programmed. Now, you think it was bad in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s? Well, you need to get yourself up to speed, because in 2012, and I'd like to wind the clock back to 2012 now, Obama reversed the Smith-Mundt Act. And you may be saying, well, what was that? Well, basically, the Smith-Mundt Act protected we the people here in the domestic United States against propaganda from the government. But by reversing it or reworking it, or what they call the modernization of it, it's called SMMMA, propaganda and fake news can now be spewed upon the people with the support and endorsement of the government, and it's all done legally, although it's not lawful, folks. Now, I've been forgetting to share this with you for weeks upon weeks, and I kept saying, I want to share the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 with the people. And I just kept forgetting to do it. And then just this week, it kind of all came together with this Mar-a-Lago narrative and the Civil War and all the crap that I'm seeing. So I thought this is the perfect time to do it. Now, there's something behind this, and it's largely controlled. The media is largely controlled by what I refer to as political Zionists. And I know, I'm going to be anti-Semitic. But trust me on this, folks. Just go read Jim Maher's book, and you'll see how the deep state is largely connected and controlled by these political Zionists. I have nothing against a Jew, folks. I have nothing against their religion, folks. But when it comes to politics, I'm all opposed. So let's get back to this act, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. It allows the U.S. government to treat we the people, the American people, as enemies of the state. Did you know that? Just like they'd treat any foreign enemy. It's literally a continuation of the Trading with the Enemies Act and the War Powers Act that go all the way back to the Wilson and FDR eras. So now, does this help you understand why we're having so many problems with the government these days? Let's look at it in layman's terms, okay? House Resolution 5736 that was published on May 10th, 2012, declares the purpose of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, the SMMA, and I'm going to quote it directly now. to amend the United States Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948 to authorize the domestic dissemination of information and material about the United States intended primarily for foreign audiences and for other purposes. This is in the Congressional Records, folks. You can look it up. So literally, it is now legal to broadcast and spew propaganda here in the United States of America by the establishment. And then Section 208 Part B relates to the domestic distribution of program material, and I'm going to quote again, "Nothing in this section shall be construed to prohibit the Department of State or the Broadcasting Board of Governors from engaging in any medium or form of communication, either directly or indirectly, because the United States domestic audience is or may thereby exposed to program material or based on a presumption of such exposure." So basically, it's opening the gates to propaganda. It's now literally okay to lie to the American public. And the ACLU, you can't get any more un-American than that, they view this as a positive step in supporting the freedom of speech. So they're all in on it, folks. Everybody from Washington to the mainstream media to even the defenders of civil rights, they're all in on it.
Really?
That's right, Alvin, really. And it's tough. It's tough, folks. But this is the truth. Now, I won't go into all the details here, but I'm going to give you a link to the ACLU website. And there was a comment, 25th, 2012, and I just want to read it to you because it's worth it. One of the commenters on this website from this ACLU position on the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 said, "Taking the position that I pay for the government to lie to me legally is suicide and wrong. This position of support for this by the ACLU is vile." And it is, folks. So few people know this, but the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 under the Obama administration was eventually buried deep within the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013. Section 1078, subsection A, passed into law and effective on January 2nd, 2013. So this is all history, folks, nearly 10 years old. And this portion amended the United States Information and Educational Exchange Act that goes back to 1948 and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987 by allowing for materials produced by the State Department, here's the key, and the Broadcasting Board of Governors, the BBG, to be available within the United States. So what the media is doing is they're going to the State Department. They're going to the Broadcasting Board of Governors. They're being directed what to say, what to do. You know, we already know that the social media giants are being told who to censor. Well, this is why it's all legal, and this is why it's not going to stand up in court. We have to actually clean house with these laws. And that's the problem that we the people face today. But you may be saying, well, how so? Well, let's consider and recall all the government-sponsored psyops and false flag attacks that have been made against the people in recent years. And yes, I realize that there are still people who believe that their crazy uncle, who's always talking about not trusting the government and always shooting his guns, those darn military guns, are the guys that are shooting up the schools and killing the poor defenseless neighborhood kids. And that's nothing but a lie, folks. The sheep are being conditioned by this narrative, spewed upon them as propaganda by the establishment to make them believe that it's people like you and me who love freedom, who love what America once stood for, that are threatening the FBI and the IRS. So the government wants the masses to believe that we're to blame. And why? Because these swamp political neocons, these warmongering fools, whatever you want to call them, are willing to arm and wage war against the rest of the world while they disarm you and me. And that's the truth. I mean, we can go to all sorts of psyops. And I don't care what you think of the Sandy Hook event. There was a psyop underway there. Now, that happened back on, I think it was December of 2012, just weeks before the NDAA came into effect. And then today, wind the clock ahead, Alex Jones is facing those lawsuits in Texas and up in New England. And let's just say you were to believe, there's a couple of investigative journalists out there that have shown that there were crisis actors involved and I'm not going to get into whether people actually died or not. You know, in false flags, people do die, but the narrative isn't correct. And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at the narrative. So was the narrative correct or was it incorrect? And that's the big question. But there's these two journalists out there that are showing all kinds of inconsistencies. And some people even say, well, nobody died at Sandy Hook. I don't know if that's true. I think people did die. But the point is, I think the narrative was spun. And that's the point. So what happened to critical thinking and free speech? Well, truth has fallen in the streets, like I said. And there's this quote from Jack Swigert. He's the Apollo 13 astronaut. He said, okay, Houston, we have a problem. That comes to mind when I think about all this. Because stop and think. So you got Sandy Hook, you got 9/11, you've got these other mass shootings and all kinds of things going on that are being spun by the media. And then you've got the alternative media and the people waking up by the tens of millions. It's a huge PR problem for the government, folks. Now, I have a couple articles that you can read if you're interested that show what's going on with some of these false flags. These are two very good journalists who are doing deep journalism. And when they try to publish books, their books are getting banned. If you'd like to read about this, just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. So whatever you may believe about Sandy Hook, it was covered under the SMMA Act, and that's now legal to lie. More on that next week, though. I'd like to stop right here, give you some background. So in next week's future, we're going to get into more on that. But right now, I want to talk about something that happened in 2018. In fact, on May 27th, on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, it's a talk show. There was a caller named Dan who called in and mentioned what I just covered with you, the Smith-Mundt Act, and the legalizing of domestic propaganda and the complicity of the media in the deep state. So I'd like to play this clip for you. It's about 4 minutes long, and I want to just set the stage for you here. So this caller named Dan, he calls in, and immediately the first commentator you're going to hear is Eleanor Clift. She's the Daily Beast's she's been on Face the Nation and all that. She's this old dinosaur, and she dismisses it as conspiracy theory and doesn't want to talk about it. But the other commentator, Washington Times' Cheryl Chumley, she reminds the Daily Beast Eleanor of Operation Mockingbird. So I'd just like you to listen to this. Have a listen.
Got a couple more calls then. Let's hear from Dan in Georgetown, Massachusetts. Dan, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on this morning. One thing I realized at a young age with politics in this country is that you can't really listen to what people say. It's a lot of nonsense in there. You have to look at actions. What actually happened? And I think if people kind of were put their personal feelings behind and just focused on what happens, we'd be a lot better off. I feel there's a lot of personal hatred to Trump, which to me just falls in the category of hatred. You have to look at what has happened. But do a little comparison of our last two presidents and how they started off. Trump is out of the atmosphere as far as how well he's doing compared to the last two presidents, if you look at things side by side. That's one point. A previous caller mentioned something very important that you guys completely brushed over, and that's something that was slipped into the 2012 NDAA. It was the rescinding of the Smith-Mundt Act. And what this has done is open the floodgates for the media to basically lie to us if it's in the best interest of the government. So what we're witnessing here is the deep state aligned with media, and they have a free pass. We're a lot of questionable things happening in this country. We got mass shootings. I'm sorry to say, these things are questionable. And under this law, the rescinding of the Smith-Mundt Act, in reality, the government could be working with media to deceive us, and it's legal. Talk about the rescinding of the Smith-Mundy Act, please.
Dan, we'll let you go there. Dan in Massachusetts. Eleanor Clift, any thoughts on what you heard?
I think that sounds to be like a conspiracy theory that's alive and well. I'm not going to comment on
Cheryl it. Cheryl Chumlin?
I'm not familiar with that particular act, but I will say that back in the 1950s, there was that whole Operation Mockingbird thing, which was never formally confirmed by the CIA, but of course that was the operation where CIA operatives worked with U.S. media to shape the messages that came out of the media, and it was purportedly supposed to have hit at hundreds of journalists and reporters. And that's something that has been reported and used in different terms.
What was the message that they were trying to get across
It varied. It went on for years, right. And it wasn't just domestic, but it was also to slant and shape how government officials worked with foreign officials as well. Don't take my word for it. Look it up.
We have aspects of the government, the USIA, Voice of America, that transmit American values abroad.
I only bring it up because you say conspiracy theorist it's ridiculous. But at the same time,
He was tying mass shootings with the media and government interference to fool the American folks.
Right, and you were
dismissing like a
theories
lot of connecting of
conspiracy theories as if they're ridiculous, but there are some things that our government has been involved in, including our deep state type government officials that have been recorded in history and proven.
Well, we have a moment or two. Let's get out.
And therefore, that gives credence to what you
let's
know.
Let's wrap up with a call or two here.
Okay.
Eddie in Millbury, Massachusetts.
Randomly dismissed.
Let's get one more. Eddie in Millbury. Good morning. Go ahead. Millbury, Massachusetts.
You know, folks, I just love how conspiracy theory is used as a derogatory term. Questions like caller Dan. There's no question that much of what the media is doing today is working for the deep state. I mean, did you hear what's her name, Eleanor from the Daily Beast? She is such a deep state establishment hack. It's not even funny. She talks about the Voice of America transmitting American values abroad. What American value? Like abortion, transgenderism, homosexuality, and gay pride? Come on, folks. This stuff is an aberration. The death jab? What American values are worth transmitting abroad? But, folks, I'm running out of time, and I still didn't get to the message. What I'd like to do in the promise, you know what I was talking about. I'd like to show you how this has been actually in the news in the last week. So this next clip is an aggregate of the mainstream media caught lying again, and this time with regard to this whole Mar-a-Lago FBI raid thing. So this is a little 1 minute and 10 second clip. Just listen, and this is evidence that the Smith-Mundy Act is doing what it was intended to do, to propagandize the people. Have a listen.
Sources tell ABC News there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Sources also telling ABC News there's been a strong reaction from some extreme groups online, including QAnon and other groups.
There's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremist and QAnon-related forums.
Including those that were active before January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Including those that were active prior to January 6th.
Involved in the January 6th insurrection.
Including those that were active prior to the January 6th riot.
Some have been calling for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include calls for violence and even a civil war.
Some of them include
calls for violence in online forums.
And even civil war.
This was the top comment on the search on the pro-Trump site, The Donald, last night. Quote, lock and load with references to a civil war.
Talking very violently about civil war.
Searches for civil war spike.
They're talking about civil war. Civil war. Civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Civil war.
Wow. What more do I have to say, folks? Folks, are you beginning to connect the dots? Now, over the past 2 weeks, we learned that one day our prayers will literally, and I'm talking literally, shake the earth. And there's a way we learned last week to fervently and effectively pray. But do you still find that your prayers are sometimes not answered as you expected, or maybe you think they're not answered at all? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Well, folks, I told you at the beginning of the show that I was going to ask you a question. And I believe that this teaches us how to live when the bottom falls out. You know, when the dollar collapses and the chaos hits the street and we go into martial law. So let me ask you the question. Did you really think that the Christian life would be easy? You know, Jesus promised us the ultimate victory, but he never promised us that there wouldn't be tribulation. He never promised us there wouldn't be difficulty. So we all face times when we lose sight of the goal, and we all forget about the saving faith that seems to have failed in Hebrews chapter 11. We're just ordinary people with you, like you and me, with extraordinary faith, doing extraordinary things, yet they didn't have the same faith you and I have. They had the measure of faith that St. Paul talks about in Romans. We're all given that measure of faith, but it's not until we're born again, saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, that we literally receive his faith. And today, you and I, as Christians, cannot live apart from his saving faith. You know, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Now, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And the writer of Hebrews says, apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So not only do we need to possess his saving faith, which is a gift, we need his saving faith to possess us. And that's what happens when you receive the gift of saving faith. So how could you ever say that his faith would fail? Sometimes we pray, Lord, we need nice weather for a family reunion that's coming up this afternoon, and it rains. There's a monsoon. Or maybe you prayed to marry that special person from high school, and they end up marrying someone else, your best friend, in fact, or a loved one that you've been praying for is sick. And you pray, Lord, heal my child, or Lord, heal my wife, or heal my parents. Better, in fact, they get worse. In fact, they die and end up in the grave. So we've tried to believe, and we've tried to trust, and yet this gift of saving faith, it just seems to fail us. So what then? Are you ready to throw in the towel and just quit? Have you been there? I have. If you haven't, just wait. Hold on, because you will. You know, sometimes trials and temptations and tribulations and heartache and tears and fears all come while you exercise this gift of saving faith. Now, it doesn't remove them. So if it doesn't remove these trials and tribulations, what's it do? Well, it gives you the power to endure. It gives you the power to persevere. And that's why this chapter in Hebrews 11 was written. It was written to reveal the promise that none of these people in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 had. And it's to challenge you and me. Now, let's get some background on chapter 11. And I'm going to continue this next week because I am running out of time. But what you need to do is you need to start over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, where he wrote, "For ye have the need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So this passage gives us perspective on what we need to learn to endure and to persevere through these trials and tribulations and understand what this promise is. So let's look at some of the examples given in this hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 35 says, "And what shall I say then? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and the David also and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Remember, that's what Moses did. So there's a story that ended there. Most people would say, sign me up, that sounds great. But then there were others that continue in verses 36 through 38.
who had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. So now you read that and you say, oh boy, there must have been something wrong with their faith, eh? Well, no. First of all, look at the first part of verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, so all of them received a good report. They all got straight A's for their faith. And remember, it was their faith. But then why didn't they escape? Why did they have to endure so much angst? Well, the point here and what I'm trying to get across to you is that there's three elements of a genuine saving faith. The faith of Jesus Christ that was given to you and me as a gift when we became believers. Yet sadly, too many Christians still rely on their old superficial measure of faith, the superstitious faith, the tap water and light bulb faith that all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 had. Remember, they were covenant. They didn't receive this gift. They only looked forward to it. Yet we can receive it. And remember, St. Paul says that we're all new creatures. All things are made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that all things, that includes our faith. So that measure of faith we're given, that carnal faith that these people had, is replaced by literally the faith of Jesus Christ. It says in the King James, when they talk about being saved, it says we're saved by grace through the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith, not my faith. And that's the measure of faith that's converted to the faith of Jesus Christ when it's made new in us. You know, this pistos Christos is always translated in any other situation. Pistos Abraham, pistos whoever, faith of. Yep, in the new translations outside of the King James, it's translated as faith in. And why? Because of that stinking thinking of Westcott and Hort. Undermine the truth that's found in these words. So I'd like to pick up on that right here next week and recognize that it's the faith of Jesus Christ that saves you and me, not our faith. And I know that might sound radical, but what I'm going to say is stay the faith, folks. Stay the faith. And as you go out this week, remember to never give in, never give in, no, never give in. And I'm going to end it there, folks, because there's so much more I could do, but we're out of time. I love you all.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Okay, folks, and remember that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord, recognizing that power of the Holy Spirit is in you and me. I love you.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
Power that can call the raging sea.
all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus. Oh,